Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney coming live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The TVs are fired up. All the most of you guys are still playing hooky and gals. The headache, the cold, the flu, the little little decongest, whatever. You got a little something up there in the nasal cavity that prevents you from working today. Obviously, a lot of hoops. Teak, what's happening,
all's
buddy?
All's good, man. Welcome back.
Thanks, man.
After your first St. John's.
Second
St. John's. 4 years ago. That's right, 4 years ago. Your second St. John's NCAA tournament game, which ended in a loss. I feel for you. Mm-hmm. But by good karma and the Tiki and Tierney mojo, Nate Oates of Buffalo, who we had on yesterday while you were out, is going to do vengeance
for
the Red Storm and beat ASU this afternoon.
They're going to take out the Sun Devils coming up at 4:10 Eastern?
Yes, that's right.
St. John's didn't play well at all. Obviously, we're not talking about St. John's here, even though I cover the team. Teak's got his Virginia gear on. They'll be playing while we're on the air. Same with Tennessee. Tonight we've got Duke, Houston, UNC. So usually push some of the higher, not the Duke, not that Virginia's not high profile, but some of the schools with, you know, monster fan bases during the evening. That's what they do. I wanted to say one thing, not about St. John's, but about Dayton. Because I always had this perception, and I didn't really know what it would be like. I mean, let's face it, when you go to the first four.
Yep. By the way, he's talking about Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio.
University of Dayton's, what was the arena called?
Oh, God.
Is it Dayton Arena?
It's Dayton Arena, and it's also, what is their coach's name? The name of the floor. Westbrook, I saw a plaque, and I actually stopped in the middle of 9,000 things and read it. He actually accomplished quite a bit. They changed it in 1997. I remember the year that they changed the guy. I forget the Underwood or Lockwood. Now I'm going to have to look that up. But listen. When you go to the first four, you almost feel like you're not in the big dance. On some level, I get that. Fans feel a little disenfranchised, unless you're a really small school that's just happy to kind of be there. Dayton is phenomenal. And you don't the sizzle that's in the arena that you just can't quite capture on TV, it feels a little like Hinkle for those who have been to Butler, kind of that old school, the setup, the structurally. But they do a really good job. So before we dive into the meat of the show, we'll get to Tom Izzo, obviously, very early here, because, of course, the world can't spin properly unless everybody's up in arms about the dehumanization of a student-athlete here.
Blackburn Court.
Blackburn. Close. I was in the area.
Right.
It's in the area code.
You had too much Underwood from...
From
House of Cards.
House of Cards. By the way, have you guys moved on to Ozark yet? I asked you this,
we
right?
We have not.
Tracy did, or you didn't?
We both started watching. We got season one, two episodes in, and then got distracted. We'll get back into it.
We just started.
Everybody's saying so.
No, we just started. We actually watched like 1 a.m. last night. We watched the first episode of season two after the hoops. Okay, so great job by Dayton. Here we are, and it was cool to be there, you know, because you covered the stuff for life. I really had no sense of what it was going to be like. It was pretty awesome, and it was good to be a part of it. Aaron Henry. All right, let's get into it. Go ahead, Teak. Why don't you start us off with this?
Yeah, so we saw this yesterday, and there was a couple of takeaways, at least from a visual standpoint, as I see Tom Izzo going off on his young could-be star on the squad. And I always wonder, at this point in the NCAA season, at the beginning of the tournament, who does this matter more to? Does it matter more to the kids, a lot of whom are going to be or try to be one or two and done in college? Or does it matter more to the coach whose legacy is absolutely tied to his success and failures at the NCAA tournament? Mm-hmm. The players, maybe. Even if you go win a championship, let's say you don't win a championship. Let's say you get to the Final Four and you play for Michigan State and somebody else, Duke, wins. Is anybody going to remember you get into the Final Four? Is Final Four appearance going to be on your resume, especially if you go on to play in the NBA?
It'll be largely obscured by your professional accomplishments,
but
to your point.
For the head coach, it matters a lot. And so as I'm watching Tom Izzo go off on this young man, what I'm thinking is this means more to Tom Izzo than it means to this kid. And I don't know if that's a bad thing. I think that's actually a good thing, because it puts us in a position, or it puts him in a position to teach about caring in the moment as opposed to always looking at the bigger picture. And I love this about what Tom Izzo did last night. A lot of people are up in arms about it and saying you can't berate a kid like that. Oh, come on. I mean, that's how I grew up getting coached, right? Uh-huh. I loved seeing it. And especially when I thought about in context why he's acting that way, why he wants accountability, not just for his legacy, but for all those other kids who may not even, you know, get a chance to play in the NBA. This is their mountain, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only mountain they're going to climb. So hats off to Tom Izzo for getting it right. At least in this case, I think he did.
Oh, thank God we're on the same page with this. I didn't think I'd have to come in and do battle with you right away, because Tiki was away and then I missed a couple of days. You were on vacation down in Florida. I was obviously away with St. John's and Dayton, so we haven't done a show together in roughly a week or so. The last thing I want to do is battle hardcore the first segment. I didn't think we'd have to, because I knew that your competitive sensibility would win out, as has mine here. Here's what people miss. A couple things that jump out to me. It's how you frame that about Izzo, too, which is more important. I hadn't actually thought about that. That's interesting. Newsflash. If you are good enough to get an offer to Michigan State, there's a pretty good chance that everybody in the Big Ten is offering you a full ride. Maybe not Michigan based on the style. Maybe not. But for the most part, you are a highly coveted borderline superstar. Granted, Michigan State kids have a blue-collar, gritty DNA, yes, which obviously is a staple of Tom Izzo's program, which gets me to this. Is this, like, new? Does anybody think that Tom Izzo, he's not Eddie Haskell, who's going to walk into somebody's, whether it's a palatial home or an apartment in the projects, and lie to the parents and say, I'm never going to yell at your son. You know, hey, I'm going to let him do whatever he wants. Tom Izzo, you know what Tom Izzo is about.
Yes.
And it's accountability, it's respect, and it's about integrity and purpose. And if you can't line yourself up with that, don't go play for Tom Izzo.
I agreed.
And I mean, that's what's baffling to me today.
Especially in a round one game against Bradley. I had to look up where Bradley was. I had no idea.
Oh, they had a good player. Hersey Hawkins is from that. Back in the day, Hersey was a good shooter.
But it's Bradley.
The Bradley Braves, right?
Yes, and this is Michigan State versus Bradley. Uh-huh. Down one at the end of the first half. His kid makes a horrible mistake, and Tom Izzo lit into him.
Compounds it by not hustling.
For those who didn't know the context of that, that's what we're talking about. Tom Izzo, it doesn't stand for that. And he talked about it after the game.
You know, there were some things Aaron didn't do a very good job of. And yet, you know what? Like happened, I did get after him, and he did respond, and he did make a couple big buckets, and he did make some big free throws. But that's not good enough. This is one and done time. The my bads are out the window. If they're my bads because that team played better or that guy played better, if it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it. So that's what it was.
After the thing with Henry, you kind of knew you had to stick with him because you don't have much of a bench. And then the end of the game, did you call to feed the ball into him when the ball found him in the post? Did you go to him even though you challenged him because you knew you'd have to challenge him at some point? Or you knew you'd have to go to him because that's who you had to play with? Tell me about the thought process going to him late.
Yeah, we challenged him. We said if he's going to down screen, McQuaid hits the one. And we said the next time we'll slip it and we'll get it to you in the post because we figured they'd jump out of McQuaid. And it sort of happened that way. And he made a couple big plays in there, and which he's capable of doing. I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was ahead of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
Hey, listen, son, Colt, if you're watching the show right now, if you're good enough to play, and you're lucky enough to play for somebody who cares about you as much as Tom Izzo, whether it's high school, JV, varsity, D1, D2, D3, NAIA, wherever. Same goes for my daughter, although I do think the interaction with young girls is different, coach to player.
Yes.
you will be one lucky young man because that coach will make you a better man.
Yeah, of course.
How do people not see this?
I don't know. Look, it's accountability, and accountability matters. But also, to that question that reporter asked.
Which was mangled and
mangled,
I mean, 9,000 directions.
It is so
ask the question,
it's
buddy.
It's so unrelated, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I know what he's getting at.
I know exactly what he's
just
getting at.
Just ask him that.
But it's unrelated because this kid is your star, right? He's your guy. I remember going through this with Jim Fossil when we played the Eagles at the end of whatever season it was, 2001 or two, et cetera. I fumbled three times in a football game, BT.
Oof.
And that's the only reason the Eagles were in it. We get to overtime. Jim gave it to me every play but one, and that's when we kicked the field goal to win it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not – you're not thinking about, man, I just ripped this kid a new one.
Exactly.
And, you know, he wasn't hustling, and he was making some mistakes, and – because of that, I'm going to punish him and not go to him. He's my best damn player.
Mm.
I'm giving him the rock when it matters.
Yep.
Because I know he's going to be accountable, especially now.
Yep.
After I made an example of him. So, look, I get where media is trying to get into.
It's pathetic.
To get to the narrative or make a narrative that's not necessarily there. But come on. Tom Izzo's a great coach. He's proven over the history of his – you know, whatever it is, 25 years that he is accountable to his players, and they better be accountable to him. So stop trying to make this into anything more than what it actually clear as day
okay,
is.
Okay, right? Nice. Okay. We're on the same page, brother. Thank God.
Do your job.
And, you know, to equate this, and some people actually try to do this, and I use the word the dehumanization or the term, right? The dehumanization of the student athlete who's being exploited by a system that's not equitable. Yeah, there's a conversation to have along those lines, and we've had those conversations many times.
Right.
But to take the one instance where a Hall of Fame coach with great, even if he was just an average coach, but with great integrity, who is trying to incentivize a young man to maximize his talent while also not ruining it for the other 12 guys on the team that had busted their ass since August when they're in open gym running and it's 103 degrees in the Breslin Center. You know, you can't apologize for this. You can't apologize for having heart and soul. And the worst part about this, and I've heard it everywhere today, is that people are talking and speaking for Aaron Henry.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
You're right.
Aaron Henry doesn't care about this. He actually subtweeted. Let me give Chris Carter props.
Yes.
Chris Carter was a first things first, him and Nick Wright. We know Nick. Nick's a good guy, doing really well. Good show. A lot of our friends have been on that show as guests. We know, why am I forgetting her name? She used to, what's her name? The moderator.
Oh, Jenna.
Jenna Wolf. Yep. We've known her for years, even though I just forgot her name.
I worked with her for NBC.
She's awesome.
Exactly.
Great cast. And he said something today. I'm not going to read it, but he basically said about coaching and getting to the soul of a young man, inspiring you to do all great things and defending Izzo. Aaron Henry subtweeted it and put the little the dart emoji in front of it. So people are actually complaining for Aaron Henry when Aaron Henry's saying, this is good.
Yes.
When that's the world's messed up. The young man doesn't care. And he made shots. He became more engaged. And they won. And this is the problem. There's a lot of losers out there. Like, I don't know how else to frame it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of losers in this society.
I hear
soft losers.
Well, they want to make controversy where none actually exist.
Oh, my God. 1-855-212-4227. God forbid we start the pageantry of the NCAA tournament or Richard Pitino exacting revenge for his dad. There's so many or Murray State, who then maybe there's a conversation. Do you still take Zion Williamson number one? I don't know if I'm going to tiptoe too deeply into that conversation, but there's basketball things we can discuss and said this nonsense is leading away.
Yeah.
Some people are embarrassing themselves. Good God, where did you grow up? Did you ever play a sport?
No.
Damn.
To answer your question, no.
All right, we'll get some calls. I'm sure there's people who disagree. Let's get it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere. You feel like you gotta have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC.
Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, final sounds. Obviously, going to hear that all weekend. That's beautiful. Beautiful array of instruments there, getting us all pumped up as we get a little deeper into it. Although the commercials with Charles getting a little weirder by the year. I mean, you know, Charles is becoming a little wacky with these commercials. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. That was Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network. So Iowa comes back, wins that game. Bearcats, rims got a little tight, and that's kind of the knock on Cincinnati over the years with Cronin, mm-hmm. who's done a lot of good things with Cincinnati, and but they just don't score easy, in an easy manner.
Yeah, they haven't had a score yet. And they play a similar type of defense that Tony Bennett and Virginia play, who are taking on Gardner Webb right now. 6'4", Gardner Webb actually has the advantage.
Oh, it's going to happen again.
I don't think it's going to happen. But this really is not an advantage for Virginia down here. Because Gardner Webb, they were just showing the driving stats.
I saw that.
It's like 120 miles for Gardner Webb.
And it's 360 or something?
360 for Virginia. It's like this is home court here for Virginia. So we'll see.
They're going to punish you from last year.
Yeah, right.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. GEICO.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. We've got... who's coming up? Look, Mark Turgeon, third hour of the show. Maryland, big man who's very good. They won their first round game. They're moving on. We'll get some calls here with Izzo. We've got a poll up on Twitter as well about the coaching style of Tom Izzo pertaining to what went down yesterday with Aaron Henry. Of course, given the way things are, you know, nowadays, everybody wants to complain. It is mm-hmm. what it is, and we'll give you a voice to complain. But Teek and I, at least for us, we are balanced and we are driven in reality, not overreactive unnecessarily. And, you know, maybe because we're older, maybe because we both played. I mean, obviously, this guy was the star, but we both competed. We both played in college. I wish I had somebody that cared that much about me.
Look,
my college coach didn't really care about me.
My coach did. I told you the story when Coach Welsh passed away, right? I mean, it's what made me who I am.
Yep.
He challenged me as a man and as a player.
That's right.
And that's why I got good.
That was not too long ago, and I remember you visibly choked up, obviously. So... okay, let's get some calls. First up, Gino is in Syracuse, New York. The Orange bounced early. Gino's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Gino? How you doing today?
What up, man? How you doing?
Hey.
Just going to say what I feel, and then I'm going to hang up and see what you guys just say.
Go ahead.
But I think Tom Izzo is one of the greatest coaches. I think what he did was one of the greatest things that you could do for a person, for a man, for a career, for anything. I think it starts in Pop Warner, Little League, all of that, because I coach Pop Warner, and that's one of the biggest problems. And forgive me if it's not politically correct, but I feel like America has just gotten soft. Mm. It's like the kids on the team, oh, it's okay, Billy, you missed the block. No, it's not okay. You got the quarterback killed. Like, no, it's not okay. Go sit down. So I just feel like if more people did this and more people did what he did, the athletics would be better, kids would be better, and I think kids would go farther. A lot of these kids don't have dads in their lives or positive role models, so then you get these coaches that do this in college. They've never been used to this their whole life, so all of a sudden he's being mean to me. Mom doesn't like it. I just think, you know, the world getting a little soft, and we need more people like him.
Yeah, that's good call.
That's a good call.
Appreciate it, Gino.
Look, it's true. There's something about learning from failure and being accountable for your failures, because not a lot of kids are, right? We talk about the trophy generation, and you know, you got to be able to, you know, discipline kids without being mean to them. Sometimes you got to be mean to them, just to let them be aware of what's happening in front of them, because otherwise it turns out to not mean anything to them. You know what I mean? So I applaud Tom Izzo. I think this was the right thing to do. I think it got the desired result. And hopefully that kid, Aaron Henry, is a better player for it, as we're seemingly believing that he is from what he's tweeting.
Yeah.
This is how these kids communicate these days.
Yeah, he's basically saying, I'm
co-signing.
Good.
He's co-signing what Izzo supporters are saying, then he's probably good with it.
And there's really nothing to debate about the results. You said, you know, that it seemingly worked. It did work. I mean, his efficiency went through the roof. He made foul shots, made a big jump shot. They won the game. And his energy level was noticeably up. You know, it's funny. We started, obviously, I can't go. It's on Mondays, and Jen takes the kids to swimming lessons. This just started last Monday, right? So this Monday will be number two. And Colt's 4, Kinsley's 2. And Colt's pretty, you know, does a lot of sports, but doesn't like going underwater. Okay, that's fine. Kinsley went underwater. Again, my daughter's two. She came home with a ribbon. Colton didn't. And my wife and I looked at each other. We're like, okay, they're at the right swimming class.
You're right.
You got to earn it. Let's go to Tony, who's in Wisconsin. Tony's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Tony? How you doing today?
Good, guys. How are you?
Okay. We're good, man.
Hey, I wanted to say, you know, I'm a dad, and I threw away my kids' participation trophy simply because I can't stand it when people give them away awards. You know, oh, thanks for showing up. You put your name on a roster. Good job.
What did you tell him? What did you tell him when you did it? When you did this?
Just gonna ask the same.
I said, you know what? You did good. You tried. Your team didn't succeed. That's okay. You guys come back next year. You try again. You work harder. And my son actually looked at me and said, well, it stinks that we didn't win. I said, yeah, but if they didn't care about winning and losing, they wouldn't keep score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of leagues don't keep score, unfortunately, anymore. Oh, geez.
And it's getting farther and farther between. But
I hear you.
You know, and I saw what he did, and I got up, and I'm like, get it. Go after it, man. We need a Tom Izzo on every team. You have to. That guy, you can see the passion pouring out of him.
Yeah.
And you're going to make a better man, just like the last caller. You're going to make a better man out of him. If they ain't going to rise up to it, then guess what?
They'll leave the program. At that point, Tony, they're going to leave the program because the standard has been obviously defined by Coach Izzo. And, you know, sometimes you can recruit a kid and you think that he meets your standard, but then under a little duress, when you get him away from AAU and high school and he's not dominating and things aren't coming as easy as they were when he was a kid, maybe he kind of goes the other way, and maybe that's not the right school for the young man. He's got the option, you know, or woman obviously applies to it in different sports, but they have the right to transfer. They have the option of transferring. We need Tom Izzos in the world.
Agreed.
You don't have to go and play for Tom Izzo, but I think the world's better with a few Tom Izzos.
I think you're right.
I'll say this, though, and not to debate myself or argue against my point. You know where I stand, obviously. I do think it's a better optic and a better visual that he's older. Mm-hmm. Like if Tom Izzo did that and he's 32 and is a young hothead coach, again, I wouldn't have an issue with it, but I would be maybe a little more willing.
Yeah, you're right.
To hear the conversation from those who did.
Because,
you know what I mean?
Because his entire career is defined by this type of behavior, this type of attitude, and this type of accountability and fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
It's also more grandfatherly. It's less peer.
Exactly.
You know, if you have a 19-year-old kid and a 32-year-old coach, there's a lot of similarities.
True, but this wasn't a grandfatherly interaction.
Unless you had a grandfather who wasn't afraid to whoop you behind.
That's a good point.
Which I didn't, but I was a little scared of my grandfather. Scared.
He was in Aaron Henry's face.
Yeah, he was. He was.
And he didn't let up.
And they won the game. Richard's in South Carolina. Richard's on Tiki and Tierney. Richard, how are you today?
Doing fine. How about you guys?
Very good, man.
Thanks. What's up?
You know, when I talked to the young man on the phone, I told him that Izzo reminds me so much of a drill sergeant I had in basic training. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, not to be poor, poor, pitiful me or whatever, but the guy saved my life.
Mm.
All right? You know, you train, and if you start losing concentration, you can't get distracted. But that's one thing. But here's what I think a lot of people are missing in this. How much time did they have left in the game?
Yeah, it was
not
a half.
Not a lot, right? How do you get a point across to somebody in a short period of time?
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a bit of volume, passion,
mm-hmm.
whatever. You can't sit there like it's a chess game and spend 20 minutes trying to describe the move.
Yeah. Eventually the TV timeout's over.
Exactly.
And you got to get back on the court and play basketball.
Right. Like when we, in basic training, when we started getting lax, they increased the real bullets in the tracers and stuff they were shooting over us from 1 in 100 to 1 in 50.
Oh, wow.
They got our attention.
Yeah, no, of course it did. Well, we appreciate your service, Richard.
Yep, thanks, Rich.
That's real. Now, this isn't life or death.
No.
But there is accountability towards winning and losing that matters to a lot of people that are watching out there, whether it's Michigan State alums or whether it's people in Vegas or whatever it may be. It means a lot. To a lot of people. So,
or the other four guys on the court who would be adversely affected.
And the other eight guys on the bench.
100%.
No doubt.
I would love to hear from people who disagree with us. I mean, we could take call after call after call. Yeah, Tom Izzo's antics are great. Tom, we support Tom. I want to hear the opposite. I really do want to have that conversation. I want to, You won't. I'll tell you this right now. You won't enlighten me to the point where I'll change my opinion. That's not going to happen. How I feel about Izzo with that incident will not change. But I would like to hear something counter to the calls that we took, because, you know, it gets a little repetitive, it gets a little boring, and there are two sides of the coin. And obviously, Tiki and I are always aware and driven to bring those various points to the show. 855-212-4227. Axe got all the scores, all the updates. Obviously, things are changing. We have inbounds, out of bounds coming up, as well as more calls. Rothstein, John is here, hour number two. Mark Turgeon from Maryland, hour number three. Here's Ackman coming at you, Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, it's how it sounded. Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. So the Sooners moving on. They will take on the winner of Virginia Gardner-Webb. And obviously, we're taking good care of that game here in the studio. Teak's team is down by 12. It's early, but yeah. Virginia a little tight so far.
Look, they're playing exactly like they did last year when they lost to UNBC. They're not pressing up the court. So UNBC, or not UNBC, but Gardner-Webb in this case, is getting free reign. So they have all this time on the shot clock, and they're picking up the pace, and it's forcing Virginia on the offensive side to play fast, which is obviously not their game. This has a lot of similarities to what happened last year.
Oh, boy. It is time to also ask the pros, Teak. We give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Could be NCAA tournament, could be about the NFL, whatever it is. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros and stick around. Listen later on. Teak and I will answer the best one for you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, the thing, we'll get a couple of calls here. We'll do inbounds, out of bounds. Next hour, John Rothstein, plow through all the NCAA stuff that's going on. John is all over it. It is a good sign of a program when, you know, Oklahoma, when you win by, first of all, you win by 23 points. And I know that they weren't playing well at the end of the season, right? But you lose Trae Young, who was, what, 75% of your offense, points and assists?
Yeah.
And, you know, you score almost 100 in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And how about this for kind of a modern-day anomaly? How many teams will score 90-ish points during this entire event and only make six threes?
Yeah.
Not many.
No, you're right.
That's what OU did today. They shot 56% overall.
Well, we had Lon Kruger on yesterday. We asked him about
Mojo's back.
Yeah, the mojo is certainly back. But I asked him about losing Trae Young. And he said, look, this year it's more about balance. And they have three guys that are averaging double figures, mid-double figures. And it's a different type of offense that they're having to play. But it keeps you from having that slump, that's, you know, that your star going into a slump and then not having an answer.
Having four guys standing and watching around and just kind of standing, not having much engagement. And that happens a lot.
Yeah.
That happens a lot with certain teams. You have one guy who does a lot. It's great when the shots are going down and he's pumping in 38.
Look, there are four leading scorers, 20, 20, 19, 18.
That's terrific balance. One guy's off, the other three have a chance to get going. Speaking of coaches, Mark Turgeon from Maryland, very good big man, top 10-ish, top 12 lottery pick. He'll go early. Maryland's winning, so they're one, so they'll be moving on to the field of 32. And we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds in a little bit here, but we wanted to take some people who actually disagreed with the antics of Tom Izzo yesterday with his young star Aaron Henry, and I believe Brett in Michigan wants to do just that. He's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Brett, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey.
You're good, man.
Hey, well, I'm although I'm from Michigan, I'm not a Michigan State or Michigan fan, so I don't want any Michigan State fans to think this is coming from a biased perspective.
From a hater.
It's important to point that out, too, from that state.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a D3 college basketball assistant coach.
Okay.
I'm all for holding an incredibly, incredibly high standard for kids, yelling at kids. I'm all for all of those things. I think where Izzo, to me, crossed the line is the physical invasion of space. I think when the thing that stood out to me was not even the pointing at him, but to me where it crossed the line was when he had to be physically held back by his own people that he's leading, his players, and lunging towards one of his players is, to me, where he crossed the line.
You did notice that.
Did you think, Brett, let me ask you this, Brett. Fair, and I hear you, and still agree to disagree, but I respect where you're coming from. But do you think when he was being restrained, and I'll put quotes around that, even though it looked like, but do you think that if, like, he wasn't restrained, he was going to attack him? Like, where does that go from there?
No, I don't. But okay. I think as a leader in any scenario, I think that, to me, as a college basketball coach, when you're coaching basketball, I think the biggest thing you're trying to do is teach people how to handle themselves as they get to the next step in life. And I'm also a recreation director.
Okay.
I know that if I would, for a youth sports program, and if I would have done that when I was frustrated towards an employee of mine, when they weren't acting the way I wanted them to, or
it's
not.
It's a different standard, though, Brett. It's different.
I disagree because I think that why can you treat a person a certain way just because you're playing a basketball game? I don't think that that's fair to treat a certain guy a certain way. Again, I'm all for yelling at kids.
I got you.
Essentially even getting in kids' face, but I just think that's to me is where he crossed the boundary on that. And I get frustrated when people call that being soft because of the fact that just because I'm being soft, I need to allow a coach to get into my physical space and lunge at me. To me is a problem because if I would do that in the workspace, I would.
No, I got you. Brett, how old are you? Just curious.
Yeah.
I'm 34.
Okay. I thought you might say a little younger. Fair. Hey, listen, good call.
Yeah.
Good
argument.
Yeah. No. And by the way, what Brett said, those who disagree with both Tiki and I are in alignment with what he just said. Like, that's the thing, the finger pointing and the invasion of space. But, okay, good call. Laid it out well. Give you a chance to hit it. 855-212-4227. Inbounds, out of bounds. Tiki, you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
By the way, if you see us reacting, if you're watching us here on the Sobelcast, we're reacting. There you go. Virginia just hit a three, but Gardner Webb's having their way inside.
They are.
They really are.
Mamadou Diakite is having a horrific game.
He's getting
right
schooled
now.
So far.
He's getting schooled on these pick and rolls, this pick and roll defense. Terrible.
Wow.
Terrible.
30-19, Gardner Webb on top of the number one seed, Virginia. 6 minutes to go in the first half. Okay. Let's get to it. So, Tika, last night the Warriors took care of business against the Pacers, beat them up pretty good, 112-89 at Oracle. Yet, it was what was said at shoot-around yesterday by Klay Thompson that was more of the story when he was asked about if he hears the criticism and the praise from both the media and fans.
It is nice to be talked about in a good light, but at the end of the day, the love from the media and the fans can be fickle just because, you know, it's so game to game, you know, it's kind of in a dip. We live in a time where it's like, kind of, what have you done for me lately? So you can't get caught up in the love right now because the end goal is far from that.
Okay, pretty fair stuff there from Klay Thompson, I would think. Most people would probably agree with that, right? Inbounds or out of bounds, Teak. NBA players have become a little bit too cynical against both media and fans. What do you think?
I think this is inbounds, but I also think it's a two-way street. And somewhat of a simple, we've talked about this before, BT, how they just can't relate to the fan or the media because they make so much damn money. Yep. Even like the six men make a lot of money. So as a result, we have also become cynical towards them and the things that they say.
A good point.
And so what they're
great
trying
point.
To express or give their opinion on, we're like, yeah, but it's coming from a jaded opinion because of where you sit. Look, like Thompson's just trying to be, you know, a baller, a two-way star that he always has been. But the last couple of weeks, he's gotten himself in trouble by talking about the fans. and now
he did apologize.
He apologized on that.
And
good for him.
Yep.
You know, good call on him. But I don't, what he should say is, look, we're going to get to the postseason. We're going to win when we get there. Let's judge us then.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they should be talking about.
This is interesting. You raise a good point, too. I'm going to say out of bounds. I wouldn't use the word cynical. You and I kind of think of the same thing here.
Yeah.
I would use the word disconnected. I believe that at this point,
that's right.
The NBA players, you know, are so, and NFL players too, but there's a little more vulnerability. Contracts aren't guaranteed. Baseball contracts are crazy, although I believe Trout's worth every penny. You hit that while I was out.
No doubt.
I totally agree with what you did there. $430 million, Bryce Harper, $330 million, Machado, $300 million, Stanton, $325 million.
Arenado,
no doubt. Re-ups with the Rockies for 8 years, big-time money. But I don't know, maybe this is the wrong way to view baseball players, but because they play every single day, there's a grind and there's a grit. I don't know. I feel like, and I don't begrudge NBA players. I love the NBA. I love it. I enjoy watching basketball more than I do baseball. And baseball is my first love. You know that, man. But I say out of bounds here because there is just nothing relatable right now. The average consumer that goes to an NBA game looks on the court and sees a different world. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong, just makes it different.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, TK, about this. Now, earlier this week, the reigning American League West champs, that's the Astros, they inked third baseman Alex Bregman. Love this kid.
Yeah.
This kid. So, did you see his bar mitzvah picture the other day?
No, I
got to tell you that story later. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So he signs up 6 years, 100 mil. He gets the extension. Reportedly, looking to the same, they're trying to do the same at the top of their rotation. Justin Verlander, not a young kid, but having a great run. Gerrit Cole, obviously a little bit younger and talented. He's got the spin rate that they found out since they acquired him. Both set to hit the open market after the season. Now, Verlander, 36 last month. Cole's 28. Both pitchers finished last year with basically identical 3.3 ERAs and both logged over 200-plus innings. So, they're durable and they're good. In or out? The Astros should sign both Verlander and Cole to multi-year extensions.
Now, I'm going
to
say out of bounds here. I think you should sign Gerrit Cole, but Justin Verlander, let's not forget, it was not too long ago that we thought he was done.
Mm.
And when he was in Detroit, the end looked near.
Yep.
For Justin Verlander.
He was hurt.
But when does that happen again? So I'm going to say out of bounds. Cole, yes. Verlander probably don't want to overpay for a guy who's going to fall off the cliffs at some point.
Well, yeah. Now, I mean, if we're going to make that a subset of the question, obviously I wouldn't overpay. I would be somewhat sensible in terms of how many years I tack on. But just answering this, you know, one broad stroke here, just about offering multi-year deals and assuming that the Astros will be smart enough to make sure that it aligns properly with their economics, my answer is inbounds, because the last thing you want to do is have a young team, and they do. Their position players are young,
yep,
and they're fast, and they're going to be good for a long time, is to suddenly wake up in a year or two and have a dearth of starting pitching. That's the worst thing, that you have all these young bats and all these versatile defenders and guys that, you know, fit the new template for a baseball player. They fit. They're successful. And listen, the spin rate, we can laugh at that. There's something to it.
It's worked for
Cole and Verlander.
Made a big difference.
It has. I say inbounds. I like them both.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, how about this? Let's go with this, Teague. Of course, we all remember Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid filed the grievance against the NFL back in 2017. They alleged collusion was not allowing them to play in the NFL, obviously. So yesterday, the Wall Street Journal reported the grievance has been settled and Kaepernick and Reid will receive less than $10
million.
What? I believe that's $10 million split. Not yeah. $10 million a pop, $10 million split. Two ways there. All right. So way, way grossly under what some of the numbers were out there.
They
obviously
were saying
irresponsible.
80.
I heard more than that.
Yeah.
We heard like hundreds. It was ridiculous. So for Kaepernick and Reid to prove collusion as per the collective bargaining agreement, they would have needed to show that, quote, a club is and or its employees or agents entered into agreements to restrict or limit whether to offer them a contract. Mm. End of professional verbiage as per the CBA. In or out? Despite the settlement, you believe the NFL colluded to keep Kaepernick and or Reid out of the NFL.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. I just believe that for that to have happened, for emails to have been exchanged saying, don't sign this guy, don't sign. They're not that stupid enough to do that. So I'm going to say out of bounds. But I do believe that just collective thought from the narratives that you were hearing from teams, whether it was John Mara or Denver Broncos, when John Elway said these things, it just started to become the accepted norm.
Yep.
Maybe not collusion,
mm-hmm,
but it's a step down that path, but not collusion.
What is a step below collusion on the ladder
exactly,
leading to collusion?
Whatever that is.
Whatever it is.
That's what
it's
it
in
was.
The neighborhood.
Exactly.
It's in the zip code. Yeah, I'm with you.
They couldn't have proven it.
No. I mean, now listen, if this, you have to
otherwise
think.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have settled.
True. You'd have to think that even older folks, although my dad still refuses to text because he'll be able to do it. It's actually easy, Dad.
Does he have a flip phone still?
He does. He does. I got to send my mom the videos of the kids. It makes life so hard. Just,
funny.
Dad, learn how to text. I'll buy you an iPhone.
1111. 3333.
And, you know, but the older generation has become very digitally savvy because you have to just, you know, let alone function, but to flourish. In society, you want to make money, you got to be okay. So the point is that if this was like at the early wave of technology, you may have had a little sloppiness with the older generation texting things or that, where that's where the evidence may have actually been that there was collusion. But let's face it, I don't know, you know, not that I'm colluding or not that I'm doing anything wrong, but I know that before I send certain texts, hit the thing. So my answer's out of bounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
This is how. And by the way, on my one channel I'm about to reference, there are several different ethnicities on this group. Good friends of mine, right? But when I see an off-color joke going around, mm-hmm. like I don't respond anymore.
I don't either.
You know, I might laugh to myself.
Yeah.
But you know, say if I. Even if I just laugh and I go, ha, or whatever, or an emoji with, you know, with the tears coming down.
Yeah, your
co-signing. Screenshot. Oh, look, Tierney's co-signing. Look, Tiki's co-signing this off-color joke. So it is really weird. You have to think about everything that you send digitally, and I'd have to think that they are barely smart enough not to have done that to avoid collusion.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.